You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Well, both of the two major political parties in the U.S. are preparing to get together for, it's a party event. We know who the candidates and the nominees are going to be. So it's a party event. It's a time to put out the ideas of the party. It's a time to lay the planks of the platform together, to unify the party, to prepare it for the final push toward a presidential election. We know how it works. And the platform may be symbolic, but it is symbolic of something. It is significant. And when it comes to the Democratic Party platform, they've always tried for the big tent. And they're saying that again this year, that their platform that'll be rolled out here in August is going to be a big tent. Is that true? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 14th of August. Kristen Day of Democrats for Life joins us for the first few minutes. Then George Conger from GetReligion.org will talk about media coverage of religion stories. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will give us some of her thoughts on the Catholic vote and GOP vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan. And then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be alongside for the last 10 minutes to talk about two issues: shepherds and their sheep, pastors and their people, and religious freedom and the HHS mandate. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Kristen Day is a regular guest. She's executive director of Democrats for Life of America, based in Washington, D.C. Kristen, welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, you've had a chance to look it over, I assume, or at least get the press releases on it. Is the Democratic Party platform going to be the big tent the party says it's going to be?
Well, I mean, I think there are definitely a lot of things in the platform that represent, a lot of different groups. And, there is some language in there that says we are the big tent and we welcome everyone. So I think from that aspect, yes, we are including a lot of issues in there. I think the one that we're concerned about, obviously, is the pro-life issue. And, I think obviously we would have liked that to be a little different and a lot more inclusive for pro-life Democrats.
What does it sound like now? Why isn't it as inclusive as you'd like it to be?
Well, I think it continues the language that was in there in 2008, which talks about the strong and unequivocal support for Roe v. Wade and, against restrictions and support for, regardless of ability to pay. The good parts of it, that it does continue to talk about support for pregnant women and programs that will help her bring the pregnancy to term, which we are very much supportive of.
Does the platform, as far as you can tell, does it represent the actual opinions and viewpoints of Democratic voters?
No,
when
and
they're
I
polled?
Think that's where I think we missed it. We missed a little bit there, because when you look at what Democrats as a whole believe, most Democrats do support restrictions on abortion, and the numbers are pretty high. Most Democrats do oppose late-term abortions. And I don't think it fully represents what the Democratic views are. However, I think this is a really important call to action for pro-life Democrats, is that we really need to get more active and, you know, at the local levels, and we need to elect pro-life Democrats into office and support those pro-life candidates who are out there, pro-life Democratic candidates who are running for office, you know, so we can continue to have, you know, a representation in the party.
What are the numbers on those specific issues, such as parental consent or 24-hour waiting periods or informed consent and the like?
They're pretty high. I think they run in the 60s, the 60%. You know, let's see, it was parental consent. 61% of Democrats support parental consent. 60% of Democrats support a 24-hour waiting period for women. 84% of Democrats support informed consent. Those are some pretty high numbers. And, you know, the platform doesn't fully reflect that, those numbers.
So what's the problem here? Why is there a gap between not only perception and reality when it comes to Democratic voters, but between what it appears to be the party leadership and the rank and file?
Yeah, you know, I think our problem is that pro-life Democrats have been pretty quiet for a long time. And, you know, we've been trying to rally and getting more and more pro-life Democrats to, you know, to speak out and really fight. But I think what hurt us was the healthcare debate. And so we had a lot of pro-life Democrats who were coming out and really fought for this language in the healthcare bill. But what happened after that election was the pro-life community just came down so hard on all these pro-life Democrats that a lot of them aren't willing to come out and voice, be as open and fight so hard for this because of just the really harsh you know, attacks from the pro-life movement, which was such a mistake for, you know, a movement that's supposed to be fighting for the unborn to take these really partisan points of view.
So you were saying it was that kind of tactical response,
yeah,
to
that,
guys like Bart Stupak was ultimately more damaging to the pro-life movement?
Oh, it was terrible for the pro. It's terribly damaging. I mean, when you look at somebody like Kathy Del Kemper, a congresswoman from Pennsylvania who is so consistently pro-life, and she, one of her first speeches she gave on the House floor was about being pro-life. One of her first press conferences she attended was pro-life. And for the pro-life community to attack her and help to get her defeated was such a mistake, because she could have been such a strong leader for pro-life women. And she is a strong pro-life. She has joined our board and continues to be a strong advocate for pro-life issues. But to have her voice in Congress, and especially within the Democratic caucus, would be such a powerful message and powerful emissary for the pro-life point of view.
So who else? Who are some of the most prominent pro-life Democrats?
Well, back in, you know, we have Nick Rahal, who's still in Congress. We have Mike McIntyre. He's Schuler. Unfortunately, you know, because Kathy was defeated, we don't really have, you know, pro-life woman representation there. And Joe Manchin is over in the Senate. Hopefully, Joe Donnelly is running in Indiana, so, and he's running for the Senate. So we're hoping that he wins, because he's another really strong, you know, pro-life voice for Democrats. So we're hoping that he wins. You know, Senator Casey there in the Senate. So it would be good for the pro-life movement to increase the number of pro-life Democrats in the Senate, so the caucus is bigger than, you know, than it is, because we really need a strong pro-life Democratic caucus, you know, to really push that agenda. Because we see that's how we got the Stupak Amendment in the House. It wasn't the pro-life Republicans, but it was the pro-life Democrats pushing the leadership and the White House.
Do you anticipate any of that pro-life Democratic caucus being permitted a voice, an official voice at the dais, being able to speak in some way represented during the Democratic National Convention?
Yeah, you know, in the last couple of elections, you know, the pro-life Democrats haven't been prevented from speaking, like when you go back to 92. So I know Senator Casey spoke last year, and in 2008, and he said, "I disagree with the president on this issue." But you know, as Democrats, we look for what unites us, and that's, you know, really providing more support for pregnant women. And he ultimately got the Pregnant Woman Support Act included in the health care bill, which now there are grants around the country which are helping pregnant women and helping them carry their pregnancies to term instead of abortion. So we're looking forward to seeing the successes of that program.
President Clinton once stated that he wanted abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. Those are famous words from him, often repeated. Why is it difficult to get Democrats to unite with pro-life Republicans on laws that would actually reduce the number of abortions?
What specifically are you talking about?
Well, I mean, the difficulty of cooperating.
I think it's difficult on both sides.
Because
the Pregnant Woman Support Act, ultimately, when we first had this introduced, we had Republican support. Because ultimately, the programs in there would help reduce abortion. But unfortunately, it becomes partisan. And because the Democrat introduced it, specifically because it was Senator Casey, all the Republicans jumped ship on it. And, you know, so I think the problem is, with this issue, we really have to take the politics out. We can't continue to, like what they were doing and the Republicans are doing in the House recently, bringing these bills under suspension of the rules so they deliberately fail. You know, that's not productive for the pro-life movement. So I think we really need to, truly unite and get a pro-life majority so we can pass these pro-life bills and the things that Democrats support, too. Parental consent, 24-hour waiting period, informed consent. These are all things that we can pass if we work together.
How would you respond, finally, Kristen, to someone who would assert that being a pro-life Democrat is a lost cause? About 1 minute.
About 1 minute, it is absolutely not a cause. We have the numbers on our side, and pro-life Democrats, you know, you're out there. You need to really speak up. Go get active in your party, and really, we need to change from the ground up, and we need our grassroots movement stronger and more vocal. So pro-life Democrats, get out there.
Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's actually possible that there could be a more fair representation of pro-life Democrats in the party and even in the leadership? About 30 seconds.
I do. I absolutely do. We were there. I mean, the only way, if you look at the numbers, in 1978, there were 167 pro-choice Democrats and 125 pro-life Democrats. We had a 292-seat majority. Today, we have 167 pro-choice Democrats, the exact same that we had in 1978. The difference in why we don't have the majority is because there are only 17 pro-life Democrats left. So if we're going to do this, we need, as a party, to unite and support these pro-life Democrats.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to Democrats for Life under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Kristen, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with George Conger of GetReligion.org. He has been reading religion news stories. He has been covering them himself. We'll talk about media coverage of the Missouri Prayer Amendment. That's Amendment 2. We'll talk about a Belgian serial killer. She was paroled as long as she went to live in a convent. That's kind of strange. And stranger still, there's a group of inclusive Catholics who allowed a dog to receive Holy Communion. They're about testing the boundaries, I think. We'll see what George Conger has to say about that and about the media coverage of those religious issues. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris will be with us after that. From the Ruth Institute, we'll talk about GOP vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan and the Catholic vote. And then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about pastors and their people. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Well, Justin and Emily are more than halfway through the tutoring program at Sylvan Learning Center. Emily has discovered a way of multiplication that fits her learning style and is getting faster with her facts. Justin is getting better at actively reading passages and pulling out the important points. Sylvan Learning Center has two Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.